Vision Casting Leaders in the Church, Differences Between Men and Women, Naturalism, Biblical Archaeology. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois.
The term that came up, the term, I think, for the Lutheran Reformation that came up out of the Reformers' thought. We've heard about the solas, Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone. The one that's often left off is the most important because it ties them all together. It's the linchpin. It is Christ alone. Now, that is so radical a thought that what we have from God by way of salvation is so absolutely free that it is found in Christ alone, and that it is Christ alone who has wrought it, who has worked it for us. Therefore, this salvation is absolutely free. It is sheer grace. All that is wrapped up in the term Christ alone. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be hearing from the 2013 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Rod Rosenblatt making his case for Christ alone here in the first hour of the program. A little bit later, we'll look forward to Sunday morning according to the historical lectionary. The Sunday coming up is called Rogate. It means ask or pray. Pastor Michael Fries will join us, sitting in for Pastor David Peterson, Associate Pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's hour two of Issues Etc. Well, yesterday we heard from Dr. Rod Rosenblatt on making the case against pietism. Today, let's listen to his second lecture from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in 2013, Making the Case for Christ Alone.
Some of you might know that a few years ago through Crossway, I did a little book as part of a series called Solus Christus, and I'll be using some of that same material here. The basic biblical verses you're acquainted with very, very well. And she will bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for it's he who will save his people from their sins, Matthew 1. Peter, Acts 4, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we may be saved. Must be saved. John 14:6, you can say in your sleep, I, Jesus, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And in Acts 10, House of Cornelius, of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And finally, the familiar 1 Timothy 2. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, this has been a given through churches worth attending for centuries. Huh? A given. And now all is up for grabs. And this is just one piece of what's under attack. For reasons like Chris talked about, all solid ideas are under attack, and this is one of them. So let's walk quickly. I won't make this extended. Let's walk quickly through what classical Lutheranism has to say about Christ's priestly or saving work, very quickly. His saving office. If the overall verse is what Chris quoted, and I think that's just a fine one to begin with, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. The manner in which Christ accomplished this for us was by laying down his innocent life as a ransom for the sin of the world. He is our great high priest and sacrificed himself. And, by the way, if Christ is not our great high priest, neither is he a great prophet, the one God told Moses and Israel to keep on the lookout for. Why? Because his words about who he was and what he was going to do for us would be false. No true prophet tells his audience that which is in any way false. Only fakers do that. You think of the schools of the prophets during Jeremiah's day, and Jeremiah complains, "Who are these guys, Lord?" The Lord says, "I don't know, I didn't send them." Huh? That's rough paraphrase. Then Christ's intercession, or interceding for us, both past and present. During what is called his state of humiliation, he interceded for us. You see it best in his high priestly prayer in John 17. And presently, he still intercedes for us. After his resurrection and his ascension to the right hand, he is constantly, says Scripture, interceding for each of us. That gives to every Christian believer the most certain assurance of his or her final salvation. Now, how did Christ exercise that sacerdotal or saving office? Well, the theologians talked about his active obedience and his passive obedience. We're more familiar with the passive, but there are verses on the active obedience too. His passive obedience was in placing himself under the law, Galatians 4, and voluntarily suffering God's righteous judgment in his own body for our sin, for us, on the cross, paying for the sin of the world and every individual in it. Probably the greatest verses you probably know by now by heart. You might even sing them during Christmas, Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. A substitutionary atonement, passive obedience. He set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, knowing what was facing him. But his active obedience is also in Scripture. Part of what saves us is, as Luther said, his substitution for us his whole life long. It means that once a life was lived by somebody, a life that genuinely did qualify under the law's demands, and it's ours by imputation, like that. He lived the perfect life, and you will be seen at the judgment as having lived the life the law demands 24/7 since your gestation in the womb till you breathe your last breath, that you obeyed the law absolutely perfectly. And if you're like me, you go, huh? It was a total mess. But it isn't going to be that. His active obedience is credited to you as if you lived that life, not he. And those two things together meld into that this is what the gospel is. Then our old dogmaticians talked a lot about Christ's vicarious death. I have to talk with my students. It's an English word, and they don't know it, but I didn't either. Vicarious, in the place of or in the stead of. Our great systematician John Gerhard used several illustrations from Scripture as to the details of this. He quoted, Christ is our mediator, 1 Timothy 2. He is our redeemer, Isaiah 53 I just quoted. He is the propitiation for our sins. Now, Gentiles don't get that, but I'll say more about that later. You have to be Jewish to get propitiation. He is the reconciler between sinners and a holy God. He gave his life for us. The preposition for is the great preposition of Christianity. For us. He was made as if sin for us. He was made a curse for us. He was made the bearer of sin, and our punishment. The Father, by agreement from all eternity, poured out his wrath on his Son that afternoon to the very dregs. Christ shed his blood for our sins, Matthew 26. Christ blotted out the indictment that stands against us, Colossians 2. Christ is our liberator from the curse of the law, Galatians 3. Christ has freed us from the wrath of God, 1 Thessalonians 1. Christ is our liberator from eternal condemnation, 1 Thessalonians 9. In Christ, we are, again imputation, righteous and the beloved of God, 2 Corinthians 5. All of these words are basically synonyms for that vicarious atonement. Propitiation, mercy seat, hilasterion in Greek. Reconciliation and redemption. Sometimes pastors wonder what to do for Lent, and I always suggest, why don't you do a word study of how the cross works? You know, we assume that Christians get that. That's not always true. A word study doesn't sound very thrilling, but if it's all about how you're never, never going to be condemned, that kind of a word study I can listen to. All the words associated with the cross. We don't have a section in the Book of Concord on the work of Christ. We have Melanchthon doing word studies on those words. Years ago in the early 60s, Leon Morris wrote the book of the Christian Book of the Year, and it was called The Apostolic Preaching of the Cross. And it was a word study on all these words. How does the cross save? What's at the center of Christianity and how does it work? And I'd suggest that for Lent. Great time to do that in detail. And trust me, it's good news, not bad. All of it's good news.
On this Tuesday afternoon, May the 5th, we're listening to Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the White Horse Inn radio program and professor of theology at Concordia University, Irvine, California, make the case for Christ alone from that 2013 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. When we come back, he's going to tackle a term that needs some definition. It's kind of fancy. Vicarious satisfaction and how it goes together with Christ alone. What does it mean to be a Christian woman in our feminized secular society? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Ladylike, Living Biblically. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Ladylike by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A great Mother's Day gift, Ladylike, Living Biblically, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference? you can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues, etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're listening to the first annual Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt's Making the Case for Christ Alone. Now, as we pick it up here, he is picking up a term that sounds fancy, but it is very necessary for understanding the certainty and the assurance that comes with this idea of Christ alone. The term is vicarious satisfaction.
So, said our dogmaticians, the vicarious satisfaction is a way of describing the following truths. First, that God, according to his perfect justice and holiness, demands of all men perfect obedience to his law, and that God's wrath is upon all who do not fulfill that law perfectly. But, two, that Christ, by his divine and perfect obedience, has satisfied in our stead for us the demands of divine justice, has turned away forever the wrath of God. Forever, no accuser. Thus we are now, and will be for all eternity, reconciled unto God by the person and the work of Christ in our stead. Christianity is about Christ outside of us, not inside. He is inside, but the emphasis in the Reformation, and the one we need to hear as sinners, is talk to me about Christ outside of me. Talk to me about Christ on the cross, because I know how it's going with him within me, and it's not very well. Huh? But talk to me about his passive obedience. Talk to me about his active obedience. Tell me this is going to work. Or tell me that thing about justification without works of the law is really true. If I've got a pastor with me when I'm dying, that's what I'm going to ask. Tell me again. The doctrine of justification is going to be enough. Tell me, one time Walther was asked by somebody, what are you going to do if you get to the judgment and find works were part of the deal? Walther said, then I'm going to look at God and I say, you misled me with your word. Oh, that was pretty gutsy. Huh? The question is this going to work as it stands? And every Lutheran pastor, I think, well, every Missouri Lutheran pastor will join me in saying, you bet. It's the center of the center of the center, the sufficiency of Christ's death for us, simply trusted in instead of virtue, growth, regeneration, born again, all those organic words. Just him outside of me, bleeding for me, dying for me, buried for me, raised again the third day for me. All him. Now, as several speakers have spoken about, we are today in a situation where pluralism is the word of the day, where no position is really true and no position is really false. Everything rests on the interpreter and nothing on the text, as Chris said, which is a real council of doom. In class at Irvine, having the kids who have grown up in this stuff, I start them in an apologetics course reading Jim Sayers' Why Should Anyone Believe Anything at All? Why should anyone believe anything at all? That's at Sesame Street level to try and go up against what the stupid, awful schools have given them. Why should anyone believe anything at all? It's evangelical, but since Concordia doesn't publish apologetics works, you have to make use of what you got. Or I can't start them out with Craig Parton's CPH, The Defense Never Rests, but I certainly recommend it for him later on. I have to start with a group of students who has no concept of truth, really, at all. It's been destroyed by the schools. Now, if there's anything that's the case, given this situation of pluralism, it's the need for basic Christian apologetics, 2 Peter 3:15, but always be prepared to give a reasoned defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's within you, yet do it with gentleness. It's an imperative. It's a grammatical imperative. And I want to go up against our own synods not having a professor of that at both seminaries. For one brief shining moment, about 3 years or so, wasn't it, Ed, that Adam was on the Fort Wayne faculty? About 3 years. It was the first time in 150 years that we had a professor of evangelical apologetics at either seminary. First time in 150 years. And then Irvine called him and he accepted the call, and that was that. But the import of this is amazing and undeniable. I was saying to somebody over lunch, we are parish-oriented with all the pluses and the minuses of that. If you don't execute something at the seminary level, don't ever expect it to be executed at the parish level. It's got to be put in during those years of professional training. So, if we understand where students are today, and most of the culture, we must understand how the non-Christian hears any and all Christian claims today. Until we break the spell, if God willing we can, all of it is in the same category in his or her mind, the same category as the tooth fairy. And we've got to know that. Now, our subject today is just one doctrine among many, though Lutheran Christians should know better than most, that it is the central doctrine. And it means that we're going to have to offer some kind of reasoned defense, at least to some, for the truth of the Christian claim, the case for it. Now, this is best done in a Lutheran way by Dr. John Warwick Montgomery and Craig Parton, and I recommend highly that you purchase for your church library Dr. Montgomery's introductory series, Sensible Christianity. It is the best lay-oriented Lutheran defense of the truth of the gospel that you can possibly find. And buy those CDs, put them in the church library so people can check them out and make use of them. It's designed for the laity, not for seminary level. A basic apologetic course, simply laid out, for adults, but also for teens. I'm convinced our teens can do much more than we ask of them in Sunday school. I think we're boring their wits out, especially the boys. Don't know about the girls, but I suspect it's the same. To offer them something of substance like this as prep for college. Or consider offering an introduction to Christian apologetics in Sunday school classes, both for adults and for teens. And you say, well, our pastor, as you said, didn't get any courses in that seminary. Well, there's a cornucopia now of stuff available, not all from Missouri Synod Lutherans, of course, but there's other stuff available. But first of all, for a confessional Lutheran group, I'd say buy the series Sensible Christianity so people can get access to it. Well, I'll let that lie. You get the idea. You get the idea. There are wonderful resources available. Now Dr. Montgomery's books, tapes, debates, and all of that are now out of Alberta, Canada, and they're in my son's hands at New Reformation Press, and all of that will be available in MP3 format or print on demand. It'll take a little while to get to there, but it's going to be available here without having to go to a strange address in Alberta, Canada to get access. So that's coming. I can't tell you a schedule. But check with New Reformation Press, because that's where it is now, the whole collection.
That's Rod Rosenblatt, professor of theology at Concordia University, Irvine, California, co-host of the White Horse Inn radio program, and author of the booklet Christ Alone, Making the Case for Christ Alone at the 2013 Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference. When we come back, one of the strengths of that little booklet and of his presentation back then in 2013 was the list of false Christs, Christs that aren't the real thing, but are very popular in the church. We'll go through that list with him when we come back.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
I think every man, every Christian, should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by His death and resurrection to be shared with people. By the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom, God uses people, He uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Vision casting leaders in the church, differences between men and women, naturalism, biblical archaeology. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. In about a half hour, Pastor Michael Fries, Associate Pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is going to join us. Our regular weekly series, Looking Forward to Sunday Morning, according to the Historic Lectionary, will be Looking Forward to Rogate Sunday. The emphasis there is on prayer. We'll find out what that's all about in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. In the meantime, we're listening to the 2013 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference presentation from Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, Making the Case for Christ Alone. The greatest feature, I think, of the presentation was what follows here, a list of false Christs.
We have to also talk about so-called Christs who are not Christ. You remember again in the Reformation background in the Book of Concord, we believe, teach, and confess this, 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 and therefore we condemn this, 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 and this. And in our day, some of those have to be named. You've probably heard it if you listen to the White Horse Inn, but I'll just go through the list very quickly. Those Christs who are not Christ, and are marketed everywhere. Christ the psychotherapist, than which none greater can be conceived. Very popular motif in today's evangelicalism. Christ as the healer of your broken marriage. Christ as the means to better communication with your children. Christ as the way to a better attitude toward your job. The list is infinite. The only problem is that you don't find much of that in Scripture. Not central. If we're marketing our parish as a place that's going to heal families, we'd better check our Scripture before we do that. Christ offers to die for sin. It is not common in the scriptural text that he says, I'll fix everything for you. Christ the model, or Christ the exemplar, long history. If Christ is my example to follow, my model, that's not good news to me. It's really law, and it ain't gospel. There's no gospel in the message that Christ is your model to copy. I mentioned earlier Thomas A. Kempis's book, The Imitation of Christ. Don't look in The Imitation of Christ for gospel. It's law. Most of the books from old Protestant liberalism, same thing. No doctrine of sin, no need for a mediator, but you can do the gospel by doing social justice. Christ the Republican or the Democrat? I won't elaborate, you get that. The gospel is not a means to an end other than reconciliation with God and being in heaven at the great party forever. Christ the lover. That has a long history too. Evangelicals have a newfound love for the mystics through the late Dallas Willard. And when you don't have any sacraments, and they don't, then in their place goes practicing the practices, the spiritual practices, and most of them from medieval mystics. Then there are the strange ones from Pentecostalism, and I won't spend time on those, but Christ, the giver of money or of health, the health and wealth gospel. No real Christian should ever be sick or poor. Christ, the giver of the Spirit in a particular way, that is linked with particular spiritual gifts. And again, the emphasis is not on justification, it's on something else, described in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. But it takes the centrality of Christ, the light off of that, and puts it somewhere else. It may be biblical and true, but in our Lutheranism, in a day like ours, we've got to keep the spotlight where the spotlight belongs, and that's on the person and work of Christ and what he said he was going to do by it. And then there's the question, why should I bother going to church? People think it. The number of votes out of that circle is a very large number of votes. And most of them don't see any reason to come back and try it again. It's dangerous going to church, depending upon which one you pick. I'll tell people if they're just trying to satisfy their mothers, men, so they can phone in the afternoon and say, I went to church, to not go. If the gospel isn't being preached there, stay in bed with your wife, have an extra cup of coffee, make love to her, do anything. Don't go to church. It's dangerous. Now, if the gospel's being preached, then it's another thing. But going to church, per se, dangerous. If you can find a place where there is good preaching of Christ in that priestly office, what he's done for you freely, what he's done for me, and where are there genuine sacraments, do that. Then you're at church. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, and I mean water, not the Spirit, thank you very much. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, go there and be baptized into Christ. Huh? And find a place where the Lord's Supper really is the Lord's Supper, where you're taking into your mouth the body and blood of Christ along with normal bread, normal wine, usually cheap quality. Then you can bother going to church. Don't otherwise. Don't make things worse. Then I mentioned earlier in my presentation, how do I find a church worth attending? Well, I've just sort of gone through the basics. I didn't use the phrase the marks of the church, but that's the historic way of saying it. What are the marks of a real church? And the old Lutherans said, a right preaching of the gospel and a biblical administration of God's sacraments. It's a short list. Now, Mike tells me that the Reformed in their confessions didn't add church discipline, and I'll take his word for it. But no matter which Reformed person I talk to, it's in there pretty soon. Our list had two pieces in it. Where the gospel is rightly preached and the sacraments are biblically administered. And both of those have to do with Christ for you. Christ at your back. Christ at your 6 o'clock. Christ saving you, regardless of the condition you're in. Many of you have mentioned at this conference, you've run into the little thing I did called The Gospel for Those Broken by the Church. This is that same theme. That is, I want to direct you. I'll preach the law to you, any Lutheran pastor will. But I want to find out whether the saving work of Christ is central to you, and if not, I want to try and make it clear that this is good news beyond what we would ever, ever imagine. Ever. And if I'm in a situation like this, I'll say, if you're a Missouri Lutheran, only you hold the position where it's grace in Christ at the beginning and grace at Christ in the middle and it's grace in Christ at death. The rules don't change. They're all for you. We can have pastors who preach about the Christian life, and we should do that, but it should be like the Book of Concord, where it never voids the promise. The promise given through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. And I have other people ask me, what do you believe is given at baptism? Answer, everything. The whole schmoodle in an instant with tap water. And you hope the usher's got it right so it's not too cold. The whole schmoodle. And well, what do you believe happens at the Lord's Supper? What do we receive? Everything. All the benefits of Christ. Like that. Just like that. In other words, we have a confession where the good news is good at the beginning, good at the middle, and it's good at the end. Because it's free, and then it's free, and then it's free. You'll find people who come over and say, where have you been all my life? I needed to hear this 12 years ago. You know, I've been lying awake nights worrying about the quality of my Christian life. Where have you been? Sorry. It's true. Yours is the only flavor where it's Christ at the beginning and Christ at the middle and it's Christ at the end and it's Christ giving, not condemning, ever. Huh? Here, yours, all of it, free.
All this week, we're hearing the presentations from the first annual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This presentation on this Tuesday afternoon, Making the Case for Christ Alone with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Irvine, California, co-host of The White Horse Inn. When we come back, this good message is so good, it's just absolutely sheer, pure gift, and we'll find out more about that right after this. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is author of the booklet Christ Alone as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're listening to Dr. Rod Rosenblatt's Making the Case for Christ Alone presentation at the 2013 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. If you appreciate this Christ-centered, cross-focused teaching like that we're listening to right now, you need to be sure to attend this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. You can meet and hear Pastor Chris Roseborough, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, Dr. Paul Meyer, Pastor Will Whedon, Dr. David Menton, and Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. You can register for $100. That includes three meals. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June the 19th and Saturday, June the 20th in Collinsville, Illinois at issuesetc.org or contact Craig 618-223-8385 or send him an email, craig@issuesetc.org. Let's return to the 2013 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference presentation by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, Making the Case for Christ Alone. Here he is talking about getting the good, almost too good to believe message out.
Now, how we have failed to get a message that good out is beyond me, but it is that good. If you read the Book of Concord, you're going to get that over and over and over and over and over and over again. You say, well, is there any place for the Christian life? Yes. Whole sections devoted to it. What is the Christian life? It's all in there. But the emphasis, as I said, is on a particular syllable. It's on Christ dying for you and that it's enough. It's sufficient. It's going to work. Just that. Just that. All right. I said I'd stop a little early for Q&A, and I will. I hope the time has been fruitful for you and I haven't wasted your time. Thanks very much for your attendance, and I appreciate it.
We will take questions for Dr. Rosenblatt, and then, let's see. After the questions, what's the next thing on the schedule, Jeff? I'm blanking on that. Is it break and dinner? Eat. Dinner right after that. So where are we on time, Jeff, so I have an idea? Okay. Any questions you might have for Dr. Rosenblatt? The mic is right here. Jean?
Hi, I work for CPH, but I am not in the editorial area. I'm the librarian. But I was in on a discussion group about directions for Bible studies, and the people who did the survey before we met said the majority of people wanted life application Bible studies. And we agreed in the group that anytime you read the Bible, it's going to apply the
sure.
life. But how do you market that or package it, you know, so if, that...
If I'm looking through a publisher's catalog and I see life application Bible, there's not a chance I'm going to pull out my Visa card. Not a chance. I know what's going to be in there. Now, CPH may do it differently, but... Here's the prior speakers. Here's a place where I think we should do our strength and not capitulate to the braying asses of the Missouri Synod laity saying, give me a life application Bible.
Just listening to the White Horse Inn and stuff, and I'm trying, can you please explain or help me to figure out, when I hear Calvinism and the whole free will and things like that, I'm like, that sounds like Lutheran. It's like, why are we the same? Can you maybe...
In 30 seconds?
No, maybe suggest some things I could read or...
Well, the one that was supposed to be it was Herman Sasse's book, Here We Stand. The unfortunate part is that the representative that he chose from the Reformed was Karl Barth. And I wish it hadn't been. I wish it had not been Barth. But we are in need of a book like that. There are several that will get you started. The one I use at Irvine is the old standard Religious Bodies of America. Religious Bodies of America, CPH, 1936 or something. And then there was one that came out of the old Iowa Synod called Comparative Symbolics. And it's a study, doctrine by doctrine, or what the old guys would have called locus by locus, of each individual church. And there, it doesn't take a whole lot of work to compare. Those two will do you great help. Pardon? Religious Bodies of America, F.E. Mayer. Been in print for decades. F.E. Mayer, Religious Bodies of America.
What's your name and where you're from and your question?
I'm Ann from Branson, Missouri. And just as a person that works with fellow workers that are not Christians,
mm-hmm.
what do you say to somebody that says, I'm good enough to get to heaven?
Well, if they're interested in what Scripture has to say, about six verses should take care of that. And when you're talking about, if you're in the doctrine of sin, you want to do it talking about your own, not theirs. Talk about yours.
Mm-hmm.
But about six verses should take care of that, if they trust the Scriptures. Now see, part of the apologetic task in our day is nobody does. Mm-hmm. That's why Dr. Montgomery provides an argument. It's free on New Reformation Press. I went through it at Tomball, Texas, in Pastor Malley's congregation, summarized like that. It's a 5-point argument. And if somebody says to me, if I'm quoting scripture and they say, well, it's just one more religious book, you know, everybody's got a religious book. And I'll say, well, I think I can build a case for it if you're interested. It'll take about 20 minutes if you're interested. Now, that in conversation is a welcoming for them to say, no, thanks, not interested.
I would also add to that answer, what do you say to someone if they say, I think I'm good enough to get into heaven? Picking up off of what Dr. Rosenblatt said, I think the best response, pointing to your own sin, is, well, good for you, but I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. I'm certainly not.
Yeah.
And then you are immediately not talking about how good they are. You are ready to talk about how you're not and how you know that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where are you from and what's your question?
Jeremy from Rockford, Illinois. And my question has to do with the real possibility of falling away. I've come from a Reformed background, and one of the sources of security that I liked was the perseverance of the saints.
Sure, fifth point.
And you talked about grace at the beginning, grace in the middle, and grace at the end. Well, where in the context of grace can I fall away?
Yeah, remember that in classical Lutheranism, it's not like Wesley, where you're in and out of the kingdom six times before lunch. Really. You sin and you're out. You repent and you're in. You sin and you're out. You repent and you're in. You're in and out six times. This drives people crazy. In classical Lutheranism, you want to think it's theological. I once believed there was a God and that he's triune. I don't believe it anymore. I once believed that Israel had a promised Messiah and that Christ was that promised Messiah. I don't believe that anymore. I once believed, and you can just tick off the things. It's not moral. It's not primarily moral. It's theological. That's why Christian education and the Lord's Supper, you know, that is to strengthen what's there for us. That's God's provision and nutrition for us along the way so that we're not just on starvation diet. Normal Christianity is to be absolved each Sunday of all of your sin. And if there are ones that are plaguing you, personal confession and absolution is for that. But it's normal for us to need sustenance along the way, and God's provided that in the body and blood of Christ. Does that help? Usually for people who come from another one, it's usually Wesley, where you're in and out of the kingdom six times before lunch. Yeah.
Hi. Your name and your question.
Roger Lawler from Olathe, Kansas. And as he was asking the question, as you were answering it, I heard Mike Horton's voice arguing with Roger Olson. And what Mike Horton
said. You heard that Horton was what?
Arguing with Roger Olson.
Yes.
Okay.
And the case for Calvinism and the case for Arminianism.
Right. And the question I heard coming out of Roger Olson's mouth, Michael Horton's mouth, right? Michael Horton. Did Jesus die for unbelief?
Did what?
Did Jesus die for unbelief? As you were explaining your answer to him, you were saying, I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that anymore.
Yeah.
Did Jesus die for unbelief?
Did he die for a belief?
Unbelief.
Oh. Yeah.
You know the argument.
Yeah, but it won't do any good. Yeah. Their answer is no. If you want to talk about the doctrine of free will, we got a doctrine of free will. It's all no. Yeah. Yeah, he died for them, and not everybody's going to be saved because they don't want to be. Don't want to be. Lewis, as close as he got in that Anglo-Catholic stuff to kind of Arminian, he still had that business about people not going to heaven because they don't want to. You know, think of the Great Divorce, which is not about divorce. It's about a bus ride from hell to heaven and people get a second chance. And all of them except one turn it down again. Their friends from heaven come out and offer the same gospel again, and they all but one turn it down again. Lewis believed in free will as we do at that point, that it's just no, not interested. The yes has to come from heaven. When Peter was asked, you know, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah, and some say. What do you say? We believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed that to you, but my Father who's in heaven. That confession was given to you from heaven. Treat it that way.
That's Dr. Rod Rosenblatt making the case for Christ alone at the 2013 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning according to the historic lectionary. This coming Sunday has the name Rogate, which simply means pray or ask, and it sets the theme in John chapter 16 as the gospel. For this coming Sunday, we'll walk through that theme with Pastor Michael Fries, Associate Pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, hour two in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.